Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is Saturday, November 20th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. It is an absolutely gorgeous morning. I'm out in a coffee chat, and the sun is shining through the trees, and it's absolutely magical outside right now. It is chilly, but it is beautiful, and I mean, I just can't thank each and every one of you enough. I've been thinking to myself just the past few minutes how amazing it is to be able to get into my car, and instead of feeling as if I'm by myself, I feel like I have thousands of people with me. I actually feel the presence of the audience with me in the car when I'm driving around and I'm doing these chats, and you know, I don't really feel as if I'm talking to myself. I feel as if I'm talking to all of you, and what an amazing, amazing outlet it is for me personally to be able to do that. And all of you out there, I just wanted to just take a second, as I always do, to really thank the true supporters of my show, the ones who are consistently posting comments that are just so full of love and admiration and respect that fuel my passion. And you know who you are, all these folks out there, and it's a growing number of people. Fortunately, there's so many that I can't even name each and every one of the people out there. But you know who you are, and I certainly want you to know that I know who you are, maybe by your name, maybe by your picture, or a combination of the two. But I definitely remember folks, and I just want to salute all of you and say thank you from the bottom of my heart for being real wonderful supporters. Because as I've said before, I mean, this journey is an absolute blessing, but I would also be lying if I said that just like any other journey that you take in life, you know, there are peaks and valleys. And, you know, certainly there are some days when, you know, I second guess myself, or I have difficult time kind of getting to the core of what it is that I want to express. And I'm a bit of a perfectionist myself. So I struggle with those issues. And, you know, on those difficult days, for whatever reason, I have them. It's wonderful to know that I can count on you folks to always be supportive of the mission and of the work that I'm doing. And I just really hope that you can understand the depth of my gratitude for supporting me on this journey. And, you know, I've had conversations with some people and, you know, that I've gotten to know very, very well as a part of this whole process. And, you know, I expected, when I first started out, I expected that I might have some core group of people, maybe 100 group people to follow my show and, you know, might be interested in my perspective on the issues. But I never imagined that people would have an emotional response and a spiritual response or experience by listening to my podcast. I mean, that never even remotely occurred to me that would be even possible. And I've had so many people express those types of experiences and feelings toward me and my show. And I just wanted to take a moment to just let everybody know that, you know, when I hear those types of comments, it goes directly to my soul. And I'm still overwhelmed, and I probably always will be. I don't think I could ever take something like that for granted. The amount of people out there who have really just revealed their heart to me in response to me revealing my heart on my show has just been a life-changing experience. So I don't want to spend too much time talking about it, but I just wanted to say thank you. And I know that on days like on coffee chat days, I'm usually a little bit more apt to really focus on my audience and say thank you and give back. So anyway, so what's going on in the world right now? Well, wow. I mean, of course, we've got the Rittenhouse verdict yesterday. And of course, you know, last night I made some comments on that. And it was interesting. No sooner did the verdict come out and everyone was celebrating and rightly so, of course, as I mean, I can't lie. I certainly was thrilled when I watched him get acquitted. But no sooner did the verdict come out, started to see a bunch of videos. I've seen, I think, three at this point that show that appears to be a green screen inside of the courtroom. And actually posted one of the videos. It was a short TikTok video that's really going viral right now that you can see. I don't know whose foot it was, but you can see the foot go through the floor. You know, in the same way we see Biden's head disappear or his hand go directly through microphones. So, you know, the reason I bring this up, of course, is because I've been talking about over the past few days, and I've certainly taken a lot of heat for it from a lot of people in the audience, and that's okay. I mean, I recognize that that's part of the responsibility when you do a show like this. You talk about it, at least as far as I'm concerned, you know, my responsibility is to try to get at the truth. That's why I always say that my allegiance is to the truth, ultimately. It's not to any particular dogma or ideology or, you know, I don't get caught up in that stuff, or at least I try not to get caught up in that stuff because I recognize this is how they control us. They get us all wrapped up emotionally in an issue, in an incident, to the point where we suspend logic. We suspend common sense. We don't ask basic questions. We don't scrutinize, you see. That's how the cabal has always operated. They get people to have an emotional response so that they can bypass logic and common sense. And they can just have knee-jerk reactions to things. And they, you know, and it happened. It doesn't just happen to liberals. It happens to conservatives. This is what they do. This is how they divide us. Now, I don't know what the truth is ultimately and what's going to come out ultimately about this whole case. As I've said, you know, I have some very, very serious questions about this narrative, about this entire story. And now there's more evidence coming out to suggest that, you know, something's rotten in Denmark. So we'll have to see what happens. But the reason that I'm bringing this up and really honing in on it, obviously because it's a big issue, but to really emphasize how easy it is for us to be deceived still. And the reasons that we can be deceived. Now, maybe this case happened completely organically. All right. I'm willing to at least have that conversation. I don't believe it, at least not 100% of the story. But let's just say that it happened completely organically. And as far as I'm concerned, this young man acted completely appropriately. I mean, under the circumstances, he was attacked. He was the one who was acting in self-defense. If the details of the case and the whole narrative of the case, as it's presented to us, is actually accurate. And from the video, from the actual actions that he took, he looks completely justified. And I've never questioned whether or not him pulling the trigger was justified. I never questioned whether or not he was right to act that way in self-defense. What I'm questioning are the details surrounding what led up to this event, to this incident. Why did two unarmed guys attack an armed individual who's openly carrying a rifle? I mean, that's a legitimate question to ask, folks. And it's very easy, you see, when you have an emotional response to the case, it's very easy to kind of just write off these big questions with relatively small explanations. Like, oh, well, you know, these guys had mental problems. And this, you know, I understand one of them was a, from what I read, it was a pedophile. So I'm not here. I'm not trying to defend anybody here. I'm just simply pointing out that an armed person is a pretty solid deterrent 99.999% of the time. Nobody is going to approach, much less attack or try to disarm or grab the rifle or hit with a skateboard somebody who's carrying a weapon. And I mean, and again, you know, if people can't see that as a legitimate question, well, I don't know what to tell you. See, I never really believed that this entire case could be a false flag. Honestly, I believed in the narrative. I didn't question the narrative until very recently. And it just goes to show you. I mean, if it turns out that we were deceived by this whole thing, or at least partially deceived by this whole thing, then I could say that I was too. I include myself in that too. So it's not as if I'm talking down to anybody on a pedestal here, putting myself up on a pedestal. I get deceived by these types of things too. Why? Because I've been entirely, my entire life, I've been subjected to this fiction that they put on TV and call news. These events. I mean, I had no idea until very recently that the CIA had offices all over Hollywood. And literally were involved in productions. I mean, what do you think that they're doing? Am I suggesting that they were involved in this Rittenhouse thing? No, I don't have any evidence to suggest that. I'm talking about in the past, the things that we already know about. The false flags that they've run on us time and time and time again. And all I'm pointing out to people is that, they see, most of the time when there's a false flag, the Patriots are usually, you know, we're the ones who are getting screwed from the verdict. I mean, not just, I mean, obviously it's whoever's involved directly is getting screwed, but all of us, you know, in terms of the law and the precedents that are set and all of the infringements on our rights, we're always on the losing end. Now, whether it's a real case or whether it's a, you know, a false flag, it seems as if we're always on the losing end. We never see justice. And so I can understand completely people's reactions and my reaction as well when we finally see some justice in our legal system. Thank God Almighty. Hallelujah. Because Lord knows all we've seen is the opposite lately. And on a scale that, you know, you can't even have put into words. And this is just the beginning. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And it goes way beyond injustice, obviously. It goes into pure, rotten, corrupt, to the core evil. So when we get a win as patriots, obviously, we're going to have that emotional response. But all I'm pointing out to people is that don't allow yourself to not scrutinize the situation, regardless of your emotional response to it, and recognize that the objective is always division and distraction. And whatever they're putting out there on TV for you to see, for you to consume, so that they can shape your mind and the narrative, and they can attempt to control you and distract you away from other things. Regardless of whether or not you're happy with the outcome of the case, in this situation, all of us, myself included, are very, very happy with the outcome of this case. There's no two ways about it. I'm thrilled that actually, that for once, common sense and logic was applied here by this jury, by this judge. And this kid isn't going to see the inside of a jail, because let's face it, folks, with another judge, with another jury, they would have buried him under that jail. And all of us felt that. All of us felt that emotional experience. But all I'm saying is this. Is that regardless of how you feel about the outcome of whatever the media puts out there, you have to still question the narrative. You have to question the story. You have to look at the details and you have to ask yourself, does this really make sense? And there are a whole bunch of people out there who I think are going to be very, very surprised if it turns out that this thing was fabricated, that it was engineered. Would it surprise me at this point? No. Honestly, it wouldn't. Would I be on some level heartbroken? Yeah. Because I want to believe the official narrative because it led to the just outcome that I'm celebrating right now. So I want to believe that this whole situation was real, first of all. And second of all, I want to believe in the justice that we just witnessed, that it wasn't just some lie in order to further divide society. Because let's face it, let's just say this was a false flag and we did get the outcome that we wanted this time, that still divides us because there's still a whole huge portion or percentage of our population right now who's very angry about this verdict. So it still divides us regardless of the outcome is my point. And from the perspective of the enemy, that's exactly what they want. Because the antidote to them is the unity of the human people, of the human race. That's the one thing that they can't contend with. And that's why they use the media to divide us, and that's why that's their number one objective. Because that's their shield. It's not even so much the media is their shield, it's the media's ability to deceive the public and keep us divided and distracted. It's that division and distraction that really is the shield that protects this evil from being detected. Because once it's detected and once it's obvious and it's out in the open, the human race is going to unify against it once it fully recognizes it. But the problem, as we always discuss, is that this is a process that takes time, obviously. There's so many different aspects to this whole war. There's so many reasons that things have had to go at a slower pace than we wanted. And I've talked about so many of these things so many times. And there's so many different aspects to this war that it's really difficult to have a conversation where you talk about all of them. I mean, I'd probably be recording for 3-4 hours if I attempted to do that. I mean, you have to kind of break things up into different categories and talk about one at a time. That's how many things are going on in this world. That's how much our world is changing around us on a daily basis. And so we find ourselves at this epic moment in history. And we're asking ourselves, when exactly is going to be that tipping point moment where everything starts to change? Now, a lot of folks were sort of attributing that in some way yesterday to the verdict. Because, like I said, justice actually was achieved in this case. And really, I struggle to recall a time where there's been a case, such a high-profile case in America, where we've actually seen a just outcome. It's normally really the opposite. Now, it could be that there are examples that are just not popping into my brain right now, but this was a landmark case because of that, because of the outcome, because of the high-profile nature of the case, the political backdrop of the case, the media attention, all of it, the implications on the Second Amendment, upholding and reaffirming the right to self-defense. I mean, these are all massive, and I recognize all of that. So a lot of people are attributing that this is sort of the beginning of this sea change or this shift in the tide. And that may be. That may be. But my suspicion, especially now that more and more information is coming out that's causing all of us to question this whole case, more and more I'm starting to wonder, what are they, if it turns out they're lying to us, what are they trying to distract us from? And it's been pointed out with several memes that, you know, we had a camera inside the Rittenhouse courtroom. And I have no problem with that, by the way. But guess where we don't have a camera? Ghislaine Maxwell's case. Inside that courtroom, all we got was a sketch. Now, to my knowledge, this trial begins November 29th, I believe. And one thing is for sure, folks, right? There's so many things right now that we don't know, and I'll concede that right off the bat, right? But one thing is for sure is that the mainstream media does not want the public paying attention to the Ghislaine Maxwell case. Okay? There is absolutely no doubt, no question about that. Now, today, like I said, is November 20th. So in 9 days, I believe, this case begins, this trial begins. And I can only imagine in the next 9 days what we're going to witness in terms of distractions, other false flag events. They're going to do, in my view, they're going to do everything that they can to distract us from this case because we know. And everyone out there who's even remotely paying attention worldwide understands how important this case is. This literally is the trial of our lifetime, at least up until this point. I mean, it could be replaced very, very soon in the coming days and weeks. But up until this point, there's never been a bigger, more important court case in all of history. Because what it's going to reveal is going to utterly shock the world. I mean, you've got mainstream articles now. I can't remember. There was one that I shared on my Telegram. I don't remember which outlet it was. I think it might have been Rolling Stone. And the headline of the case was basically, the article rather, was that Hollywood and the elites are terrified about the Ghislaine Maxwell case. I mean, literally, just out in the open. Talking about how everybody is absolutely terrified. I was actually pretty shocked to see that in a mainstream paper, but there could be some infiltration there. I do believe that there's been a lot of white hat infiltration in terms of the mainstream media. So some of the stuff that we see, that could be what's going on there. But I can tell you this, MSNBC, CNN, all the major networks, ABC, CBS, all of them, Fox, they don't want people paying attention to this case. And I don't know if the Rittenhouse thing was a production, and we're going to have to see. But what else do they got cooking? And that's why I emphasize this, because it's very, very important, because I think that we're so used to, as patriots, we're so used to being on the losing end that when we're actually dealt a winning hand in this public conversation and in the political landscape, we actually get a win. I think it's very easy for patriots to get wrapped up in that emotionally and, like I said, you know, suspend logic and common sense and not ask some very basic questions or refuse to look and scrutinize evidence that emerges. Now, could this stuff, you know, could it be fake that, you know, the green screen stuff? I mean, look, I'm not here to, you know, dissect it forensically. I'm just here to share it with you and let you know, what's circulating out there and let people decide for themselves. To me, it looks genuine. Now the meaning that you know the, this TikTok video this guy made, it looks like there really was a green screen there. I mean, the foot disappears into the floor. You can see it for yourself. So, and you can go back and you can watch the footage of the trial and compare notes and see what you come up with. I mean, personally, I don't have time to do that, but I have some doubts. I have some serious doubts about what's going on there. And again, I think that the objective always is distraction and division. And as we get closer and closer to this massive case, I think we're going to start to see more and more and more stories coming out in the mainstream media and incidents and events happening so that they can clog up the news cycle. That's what they always have to do. I mean, the mainstream media, even though nobody believes them, they still control basically, well, they control the mainstream narrative because they are the mainstream narrative, but they also control the news cycle in terms of what people are talking about. And that, I think, is still their power. What they do now, I believe, is that they don't attempt. It's almost like they're not even at the point now where they're attempting to actually deceive us effectively. It's almost as if they're trying to just put enough propaganda out there to get us to argue and fight about it, and not really. It's almost as if they're not even concerned as much with the deception because they know that nobody believes them, but they understand that they have the ability to continually throw out propaganda and lies and deception so that the public will react to it and argue about it. And again, it causes the division that they're seeking. So they still have this ability. They still can wield the mainstream media as a weapon. And the cabal knows that, what remains of it. So I think it's very, very interesting to talk about. And we're going to have to see what develops. I mean, I'm sure now that certain evidence is popping up, or videos are popping up about this case, it's going to get the attention of a lot of other folks. A lot of people are going to be scrutinizing, I think, the footage a lot more, both of the incident and of what happened inside the courtroom, to see if they can find out if there are any other moments or irregularities. So we'll see what happens. And again, I don't really know. Honest to God, I really don't know what to believe at this point, because when I saw his reaction to the verdict, I had an emotional response to it. And I mean, if this is a deception, then I was deceived by a lot of it. I don't know if it is or if it's not. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks, oh no, it just doesn't seem to add up. And then there's another part of me that says, well, I don't know. I just his reactions to it, and it's hard. It's hard to know what the truth is. So we'll have to see. But I think that it's worth scrutinizing. I think it's worth asking these types of questions. So what else is happening in the world? Well, we've got, like I said, I mean, I think the big thing is the biggest thing we've got going on is Ghislaine Maxwell, what's happening there. But we also have the drama going on right now in DC surrounding this fake Biden administration and supposedly this infighting that's happening with, Kamala Harris and Biden. And so there's all this talk now about all this buzz about procedures and getting things in place to potentially swear in a new vice president, from what I've heard. So of course it's got everybody wondering what's about to go down and about the different possibilities, who's going to end up getting close, well, who's going to end up as vice president if it turns out they're trying to replace her, or if, Biden, if they use the 25th Amendment against Biden and Kamala becomes president, if she's not even eligible to become president. But since when do these people care about the law, the Constitution, the chain of command, power? I mean, at this point, they're willing to do anything. I mean, it's just completely brazen and naked criminality and treason. I mean, that's literally the environment that we're living in right now. I mean, at least on the surface anyway, we have treasonous people in control of the entire country, in control of the federal government. I mean, it's absolutely insane. So to think that these, and I also believe, of course, we're watching a movie right now. So to think that these people aren't going to push the limits and do whatever the hell they want, I think is pretty naive. I mean, I brought up the other day, I'm talking about, you know, the possibility that people are floating, that somehow, some way, Hillary Clinton could weasel her way back into power, or, you know, at some level. I mean, who knows? Could that happen? I don't know. I mean, according to the Constitution, it shouldn't happen, but these people, they don't care about that. I mean, if they cared about the Constitution, we wouldn't be here right now. So, I mean, then again, you could also say that if we the people cared enough about the Constitution, we wouldn't be here right now, at least enough of us. But that's, a discussion or debate for another day. But, I mean, who knows? Is it going to be Nancy Pelosi? I don't know. But it looks as if there's going to be some sort of a major shakeup that's going to be happening. Because, I mean, Kamala Harris, I mean, does anybody like her? Is there a single person in this country? Does she have one person who approves of her? I mean, it's unbelievable to me. I mean, it's shockingly low poll approval ratings. I mean, the mainstream media, they can't even sugarcoat it, how unpopular she is. I mean, they have to admit it. And when you've got, I mean, what I heard, I think that the latest I heard was 28%. And that to me is shockingly high for somebody like Kamala Harris. I mean, how is it possible that 28% of Americans actually approve of Kamala Harris? Really? I mean, honestly, I don't believe that for a second. I mean, this woman is the most unpopular. I mean, she was the most unpopular Democratic candidate running for president. She is the most false, phony individual, one of them I've ever seen in my life. I mean, there is not a single cell in her body that comes across as genuine. Everything about this, I don't know if it's a man or a woman or what it is, or a reptile, but everything about this creature screams false, fake, phony, and evil, quite frankly. And I think, I mean, you know, she's not even liked by her own party. Even these brainwashed zombie idiots hated Kamala Harris. So what's going to happen? I mean, I don't know. If she's somehow ousted, who steps into that role, and what happens next? Because, I mean, the truth is, I mean, folks, you look at Biden and you know. I mean, he's only a year into his presidency and he's absolutely falling apart. He can't even string a sentence together anymore. Unless he's talking about showing young girls around the White House privately. And it's absolutely sickening. So, you know, I mean, I think that this movie, that's why I always revert back to this. I mean, of course, Q told us we're watching a movie. But, you know, sometimes it gets a little bit hard to believe because you can get wrapped up so much in the events of the day that they seem so real. Everything seems so real and seems to be happening the way that they're saying because they have this amazing ability to deceive us, that it's hard for us to believe that it's a movie. And I get that. I mean, I've had this conversation with folks. It's really hard. And I'll tell you, I mean, I've mentioned this many times. I mean, as awake as I consider myself to be, I mean, I'm still in the process of awakening in a lot of different ways. But as awake as I consider myself to be, I recognize how easy it is to get sucked into the mainstream media narrative, which is why I don't watch it. I mean, I pay attention to it to understand what the enemy is doing, but I don't subject myself to it because I understand what it's designed to do is poison and toxify my thought process. It's designed to make me doubt my belief system. It's toxic to everything inside of my brain, inside of my soul. And that's the way that it was intended to be. And I recognize, it's just like, you know, I recognize, I hate the mainstream media with every fiber of my being, but I recognize it's a powerful weapon. It's an effective weapon. They have crafted that baby and made it super, super effective with the art of deception. And if you go back and I remember in the beginning when I first started the show, I talked a lot about the fall of the cabal, the documentary. And I'm sure that most folks in the audience have seen it. But, you know, if you go back and you watch the history and you understand the Khazarian mafia and who these people were, where they came from, you understand that all the way back in all throughout history, their primary talent was the art of deception. They were great. I mean, yes, they were great thieves and they were horrible, you know, bloodthirsty cannibal criminals all throughout history, but their specialty in carrying out their evil has always been deception. And why is that? Well, where do they come from? They're the offspring of Cain. They're the children of the devil. And what is the devil's primary talent? Well, I talk about this all the time. Deception. First and foremost, Satan is a deceiver. And the power that he wields is to be able to control and influence our minds, because he can't get at our hearts. God controls the hearts of his people. But the mind is a battlefield. And Satan knows that, and he knows that that's his primary weapon. And so he seeks to beguile us. He seeks to confuse us. He seeks to deceive so that he can devour. But he has to deceive first. And so if you understand who these people are, where they came from, their lineage, their bloodline, traces all the way back to Satan himself. And so I, for one, have a great deal of, I mean, hatred, of course, but I also have a great deal of respect for their ability to deceive, even to this day. And of course, this has all been institutionalized. This has really been, it's been a part of our culture and our society, this theater that they call news and they pass off as news to deceive us and to keep us divided. But all of us are going to come to terms with all this at a certain point. And I think that people are going to recognize that allegiance to the truth is the most important. It's really the most, in my view, it's the most important goal right now. Is to follow the truth wherever it leads. Because the more this whole Great Awakening unfolds, I mean, if you think, let's just say, I mean, I've been talking about the Rittenhouse case, and that, as big of a deal as it is, I mean, it would be nothing in comparison. It's nothing in comparison to the revelations. I mean, if it turned out that this thing was fake, it would be nothing in comparison to the revelations about what we're going to find out about so many other different things, so many different aspects of our society. Let's just take one example, religion. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine the cognitive dissonance that's going to happen amongst the people when they realize what religion either was created to be or was infiltrated and became, and how long ago, and what's been going on? You see, I think we're at the point right now where I think people are open-minded enough that they want to know the truth. But yet at the same time, I think all of us are still in the process of breaking the bonds and breaking the chains of our initial knee-jerk reactions to things and our thought process that follow. In other words, I still think we're breaking out of the mind control prison. But I think it's naive to believe that at this point in time, and I think there are probably some people who can really accurately say that they're, you know, completely free of the mind control. But I think it's kind of naive to suggest that, you know, that most people are. I think that we're undergoing a process right now where the mind control is being undone, and we're way ahead of the curve. And I think, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that, you know, we're still under mind control, this us and this audience. What I am suggesting, however, is that we still have susceptibility to being deceived. And I think that we have to really understand that. And the longer this process goes on, the more that's going to get revealed, the more shocking and horrifying it's going to become. It's going to cause all of us to confront everything that we've ever assumed about life and what's been presented to us. We're going to come to find out that basically everything that we've been taught was a lie in school, in church. I mean, we're going to come to find out shocking revelations. I mean, forget about the criminality against, forget about all of the dark satanic stuff for just a minute. We're going to find out about just on the level of deception is going to be so staggering and so overwhelming. And I think people, a lot of people are just going to short circuit, honestly. I think some people are just going to go crazy because they're not going to be able to handle it. It's going to feel like they woke up one day and the world was just completely like turned inside out. Because that's really what's going to happen. But really, in reality, what's happening is that the world has been turned inside out. Everything has been backward and inverted for centuries. And what's happening now is the reversal of that process. Everything is being put upright again. Everything is being reverted back to its original state, the way it was intended to be. We're in that process, but it doesn't feel that way because what we've always known is the inverse. We've always understood the inverted reality to be reality. So now that reality and light is coming into the world to expose the darkness, the exposure of that darkness is frightening. And it's going to cause, I believe it's going to cause a lot of people to just not be able to handle it. I do believe a lot of folks, and I've said this before, it's unfortunate. It's a sad topic to discuss, but I think a lot of people probably will take their own life. And I don't mean just the people who are involved in all this evil. I'm talking about people out there who just simply are so invested in the lie that they can't possibly for a moment even consider that this stuff could be true. And once it all starts pouring out and it turns out that it's true and they've believed in a lie their entire lives and they realize the implications of it, if they even get that far, I think some folks aren't going to be able to handle it. I mean, my hope is that there'll be some sort of a process and an ability and a path forward for these people to be able to come to terms. And I think we're going to play an important role in that. I definitely do. Actually, one of the things I was talking about, it was, I don't know if it was last night or the day before, but yeah, I was getting into a little bit of discussion about Mike Adams and David Wilcock and their discussion. And, you know, one of the things that David talked about that gave me a lot of hope was that the Alliance has some sort of an antidote for the thing that goes in your arm, and that they wouldn't have allowed the rollout of this thing and the intended result of the cabal. They wouldn't have allowed this whole thing to play out if they didn't have a counter move. And that gave me a lot of hope. I mean, whether or not it's true, we'll have to see, but we definitely know that Donald Trump is a counter puncher. That's for sure. And he always has a counter move. He's always thinking fit dimensionally, bare minimum. And like I say, you know, it's one of those situations where it really is the lesser of two evils. People are ultimately, it's going to be hard for people to accept that. But I think at this point, people don't understand, some not necessarily people in the audience, but you know, a lot of folks out there don't really understand the implications of what would have happened had this played out in a different way. You know, that if as horrible as it is that people are dying right now from this thing that goes in your arm, as terrible as it is, it would have been complete destruction of humanity had we gone in the other direction. And I'm pretty convinced of that, because I don't really see a third path that we could have gone down that would have really presented a better option where nobody would have been a casualty of war. And that's the sad thing, is that, you know, the people who are dying right now, and even, you know, even the mainstream media is reporting and admitting, I mean, even Kamala Harris, probably why one of the reasons she's so unpopular is, you know, who knows, maybe she tells the truth too often inadvertently, but you know, she even admitted that most of the people who are hospitalized right now have had the thing that goes in your arm. And so here we are, and we've got more and more and more push. I mean, they're trying to change the definition now of what fully, you know what it, I'm just going to talk in code, but you know what I mean, to include boosters now. And it's pretty obvious. I mean, this is the way it starts. First, it's 2 weeks to flatten the curve. You know, and then, you know, you fast forward a year or so, and the next thing you know, you can't buy groceries because you didn't want to take a poisonous experimental drug that's really a depopulation weapon. So now you're in that position. Or, you know, maybe you're one of the people who caved and ended up getting it and didn't die yet. And now you kept it so that you could keep your job and you could, you know, go to your favorite restaurants, you could go on an airplane, whatever your reasons were. Now you're coming to find out, just when you thought you had it all squared away and that you were fully you know what it, now they're saying, no. Actually, we're going to change the definition of that. We're going to have to take a booster now. Well, what happens next? You think that's the last booster? Are you picking up on the pattern yet? How many boosters is going to be? Sure, there are some people out there, you know, they're not going to question it. If the CDC comes out and says, you know what, we need everyone to take 35 injections simultaneously at all different parts of their body in order to go to their favorite restaurant. I mean, there are people out there who literally, they would do it. So, I mean, I recognize that there are some people who are just that far gone, but there are a lot of people out there, I think, who initially they took this thing and boy, oh boy, they wish they hadn't. And now they're coming to find out that their objective, because, you know, I think most people really, their objective was just to get their sense of normalcy back and get their life back. And of course, you know, the media is used as a weapon against the unjabbed people out there, you know, to create hatred against us because we're the ones who are preventing this sense of normalcy from coming back. We're the reason that, you know, all of these variants are popping up and so on and so forth, even though we know, you know, that the variants are the thing that goes in your arm. Yeah, but you know, they're using this as a weapon again to divide society, to create the narrative that, you know, just like I talked about the other day, just like the Nazis used propaganda to convince everybody that the Jews were spreaders of disease, well, they're running the same playbook against us. But more and more people, I think, are having that buyer's remorse. They're realizing that their objective to get that sense of normalcy back, that carrot that was dangled in front of their face, that was always a lie. It was never going to be a sense of normalcy again. Had they had their way, we never would have gotten out of our house again. They would have had us locked down forever. 5+ years before they came out with a thing that goes in your arm. And, you know, Trump knew that. That's why Operation Warp Speed, was so vital to getting the boot of the government off of our neck. And people are coming to realize that it's not just one booster. It's going to be variant after, bioweapon after bioweapon. And it's going to keep on depopulating one jab at a time. And how long is it going to take for all of humanity really to wake up to this? And one of the things that I honestly wonder about is, how many people out there actually have been jabbed? Because I don't believe the mainstream media numbers for a second. And so I really honestly wonder about that. I'm going to actually maybe put that on my list of questions for Gene. I got a conversation coming up with him December 2nd. We have it scheduled for. So hopefully everything goes off according to plan this time, and we'll have another great discussion for you guys. But that's one of the questions that I'm kind of curious about. How many folks out there have actually made that decision? Because when they talk about 70%, I just, I didn't believe that. And other countries that, they say Ireland is 93%. And I have listeners from Ireland who tell me that's just absolute insanity. There's no possible way that 93% of the people have had it. But it's getting worse and worse and worse in Europe. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. Austria has just completely gone off the rails. But, the people are rising up. And I think, that's really what we're going to see in the coming days and weeks. Is this going to be this push and pull and push and pull? And, as these laws and as these mandates and lockdowns and all of these other things become worse and worse and worse and more extreme, you're going to see more and more organic resistance to it, because the people realize all over the world what's at stake. And I think that they are going to rise to the occasion. I think we're seeing that. I mean, every single day, you don't even have to try anymore. You see videos coming out of all parts of the world where the people are rising up, and it's getting more and more intense. It's getting violent in certain areas. I mean, I saw some reports and some video out of Amsterdam about, clashes that have gone down. And I think it's going to get more and more crazy over there. And I just think to myself, Godspeed to everybody overseas. Godspeed to everybody in Australia and, the places that are really suffering the most right now. And I think to myself, thank God, and I'm sure that all of my listeners out there who are primarily from the United States and our Americans would share in this sentiment that thank God we have our weapons. Thank God we have our Second Amendment. Because that's really, I believe, that the one thing that's always really been the ultimate deterrent is that we have teeth. And, I'm just hoping that it doesn't get to the point where we actually have to use those teeth. But we're definitely very close. I believe we're close to a tipping point. But the question is that which way are we going to tip? And if I'm being honest, my belief, everybody knows that I believe in Q, I believe in the plan. I talk about it virtually every day. But everybody also knows that I've also been preaching right from the very beginning that we have to be prepared for any set of circumstances. Any scenario could unfold. So yes, are we reaching a tipping point? Absolutely. Do I think this can go on much longer? No, I don't. In fact, I think psychologically, just being in the year 2022, which is right around the corner, and not seeing any proof, not seeing any overt action, I think that that's going to really be a game changer, just on a psychological level, that we got to the end of 2021 and nothing happened in terms of, everybody knows I believe the opposite, that things are happening, but nothing happened openly, and that we haven't been given any visible proof of what is really going on behind the scenes. But I do believe that's coming. And I pray to God that we don't have to use our weapons. But in the end, if we have to, we will. So I'm going to leave folks here because I got a lot of stuff I got to get done. And I've been on for just about an hour now. So I just want to say once again, thank you to everybody for taking the time to listen. Hopefully you enjoyed this chat this morning. Hopefully you're driving around yourself maybe, or you're sitting in your house and enjoying that cup of coffee. And I really hope that I made it a positive experience for you, and you were able to get something out of this conversation. That's really the way I look at it. It's a conversation, between myself and my beloved audience. So thank you, everybody. God bless and Godspeed. I'll be back soon with another report. Hopefully tomorrow, another coffee chat. Until then, I'll bid you all adieu. God bless. Patriot out.